Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for, Lord, watching over us and protecting us, for bringing us into your house of worship. And again, Lord, this afternoon, as we open your word, just ask and pray that you would come and you'd be with us, Lord, and that you would bless us. And as we meditate on the theme and the topic and the examples that are written, penned down in scripture for us, we ask and pray, Lord, that we may apply it to our lives, Lord, that in all that we do and say would be to your honor, to your glory. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks now, or a week before Pine Valley, I had the message on when God is silent, if you recall that. When God is silent. I talked about the example given was in the Old Testament with Elijah. After he had that victorious battle, over 400 prophets that were slain, and King Jezebel, he hears word that King Jezebel wants his life, and he ends up fleeing. He's up in the mountain, and he's trying to listen to God and trying to find God, and he was in the storm, in the thunder, and God wasn't there. He was looking for him in the fire. God wasn't there. He was looking for him in the wind, and God wasn't there, but God was there in a still, small voice. So I was kind of thinking about that. The irony of that, real interesting, was last, when we were at Pine Valley, Brother Dave Pensa had the exact same sermon in Phoenix. Same portion of scripture as well. And as it's kind of, I was thinking about that a little bit more, the Lord laid on my heart, okay, so we've experienced many times in our life that God is silent. We approach God, we ask God, we have various petitions, we want this or we need that, or we'd like him to show us this or show us that, and no answer from God. That was the message a few weeks ago. Now let's talk about the flip side of God being silent. When God speaks, do we listen? And if you hear, if when you leave this afternoon, if there's anything that you remember, am I listening to what God is telling me? Do I hear him? You see, the same portion of scripture we can use with Elijah when he was in the mountain again, trying to find God, and God was speaking, but in a still small voice. But when God speaks, do I hear him? And that's what I've been kind of meditating upon this past couple of weeks after Pine Valley. There's a couple of scripture that I want to, with the help of the Lord, read. One's going to be found in Samuel. So let's find 1 Samuel chapter 3. I think we're familiar with this story. Samuel, at this point in his life, is ministering to the needs with Elijah in the temple. If we know the story of Samuel, we know that his mother was married to Elkanah, who had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah was one; she was the fertile one. She was the one that they had that Hannah would have children with. Peninnah was the one that Elkanah could have children with, but Hannah was barren. And we knew that every year they would go into the temple to pray, she would ask that God would relieve her of this continuous, I don't know if you call badgering, or because, the other wife, she can have children, I can't. And this was a burden, so she goes to the temple to pray. And there was a point in time that Elijah saw her praying, and it was early in the morning, and Elijah says, "Why are you drunk? Why are you coming here to the temple to pray drunk?" And she says, "No, I'm not drunk. She goes, I'm crying from the inside of my heart, from my heart. All I want is a child. Samuel realized how sincere she was and told her, may God grant you your desire. Fast forward, she does conceive, bears a son named Samuel. And she promised of the Lord that she would give up this young man Samuel to him. And she did. As he got older, after she weaned him, she took him to the temple and gave him to Elijah and says, I'm giving him up to the Lord. And this brings us to chapter 3. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. I called not, my son, lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered and said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and restrained them not, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifices nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of his house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is this thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto me. And Samuel told him every whit, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fail to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. When God calls. You know, in life we hear many voices. Just like sometimes we want to hear God's voice and his voice is silent, the flip side, in life we hear many voices. We hear voices from others. We hear voices from our parents. We hear voices from our coworkers. We hear voices from our friends. We hear voices from God. And we also hear the enemy's voice. The question is, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice am I listening to? You see, we have a story here where Samuel didn't really have that relationship with God at this point, really didn't know the voice of God. And God called him three times. And he couldn't quite decipher whose voice that was, and he thought that was Elijah's voice. So when we pause and we think about the voices that we listen to, how do we decipher whose they are? How do we know, is this the right guidance for us? Is this the right voice that I need to be listening to? In John chapter 10, there's a portion of scripture where Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice." If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you know God and you have that relationship with Him, you're going to know His voice. Well, David, you're saying this. If I know His voice, then all the other voices, I should be able to decipher whose voice is what, right? You see, sometimes we get wrapped up in listening to other people's voices that we don't hear God's voice. What are some of the reasons that we don't hear God's voice? Maybe we don't hear God's voice is because we're ignoring it. We're avoiding it. We know that if God talks to us, it's not going to be a good thing. And we don't want to hear it. Maybe we don't listen to God's voice because we're getting wrapped up into temptation and sin. And we'd rather not listen to it because we're in a place where we're being tempted. And, you know, maybe it's something that's appealing to us. Maybe we don't listen to God's voice because out of guilt, we've done something wrong. We fall into sin. We've separated ourselves. And because of guilt, we don't want to hear God's voice because we know what we did was wrong. Maybe we don't want to listen to God's voice because there's some resentment. Things didn't go the way I wanted it to go. They went the way somebody else wanted it to go. Or this thing's happened and I'm resenting God because of what happened. Whether it's a family member that's passed away. Whether it's a job that got passed up to on. Maybe it's somebody we had our eye on. And maybe we were praying about a specific person. And that door got shut. And there's a bit of resentment there. And you know what? I don't want to hear it right now. I don't want to listen to it. Maybe we don't want to listen to God's voice because we fall into failure. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and every time I've tried, I've failed. So why should I listen? Perhaps shame. Perhaps we don't want to listen to God's voice because we're shameful of what we've done. Perhaps we know that what we have done separated us or distanced us from God. And the one that grips us the most that we don't listen to God's voice is because of fear. And I think all of us have fallen to that once or twice. We're afraid. We're afraid that it's not going to go the way we want it to go. And if it doesn't go the way we want it to go or the way we perceive that it should happen, then we fail. Fear, as I mentioned in Bible class this morning, when it grips you, we become paralyzed. And when we become paralyzed, you can't move, even though you know to do the right thing. Samuel was a little afraid here. God spoke to him and told him of what was coming for Elijah, the man that he ministered to, the man that he grew up with. God's now pronounced judgment on Elijah, and Samuel now has to tell him that. You think Samuel was a little afraid? As I spoke about Bible class this morning, we had a good Bible class, and we were talking about that. talking about fear. The children of Israel now, after 40 years, now have come to the come to that threshold of crossing in, going over into Canaan. But prior to that, we read in Leviticus where there was 12 spies that were sent out to spy the land. And out of the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and says, "Oh no, we're not going to go do that. We're not going there. We cannot go and overcome them. There are giants in that land." Fear. Because they didn't trust that this was from God and that God would fulfill his promise saying, "I'm going to give you a land that flows milk and honey." Despite the fact that Josh and Caleb, when they came back, they cut, as scripture says, the grapevines, the two big clusters of grapes that they actually had to carry on a stick between two people. As if that wasn't proof enough of what God promised for them. But you know what? We fall into that same trap over and over again. Because we look at it through our eyes. We look at it as if it's something that, you know what, if I can't do it, if I can't accomplish it, it's not going to happen. And that's where fear sets in. And when fear sets in, it grabs you and it grabs me, and we become paralyzed. It's because of fear and not trust. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know his voice. We just need to stop and listen to it. I'm sure that Brother Danny and Sister Melanie have heard the voice of God calling them, "Hey, it's time to move out of California." And it probably wasn't a very easy decision to make. But they heard that voice and they answered that call. In our lives, do we stop when we listen? Is God speaking to me? Is he telling me? And what is it that he's telling me? And if God has been silent in your life for a while now, as I said in my previous sermon, then it's time to stop and to be still and to be quiet and to listen to what God has is saying to you and to me. And you know what? When God calls and when God speaks, he just doesn't stop there. If we don't listen, he doesn't stop there. He will show us. He will bring something to us and say, "Hey, I tried to tell you, you didn't get my attention. Now this is happening. I'm going to get your attention in a different manner." Excuse me. When's the last time you heard God speaking to you? When's the last time you heard his voice and you listened? When's the last time I listened? Just as God can be silent, God can speak. There was a phrase that somebody told me, and I wrote it down, and I have it on a little piece of paper at work in the back of my office. And it says, "Everything speaks. Everything speaks. Even if you say nothing, you speak. You speak by your attitude, by your actions. You speak by the way you pout, the way you walk. Everything speaks." But do we hear God speaking to us? And are we listening to him when he speaks to us? So I challenge you that as you leave this place, that you stop and you identify and say, "Okay, I heard you, Lord." And listen. And follow. Because he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. May God bless his word for this afternoon.